Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a living word. And no matter how many times we read it, we see new things because your spirit is at work. So open our hearts now to see clearly what you want to say to us this morning, both individually and as a church here in Poynton. And Lord, help us to change our ways and allow you to work within us according to what you speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're thinking, I wonder if you were, we've got writers amongst us, Eric's written a book and Jenny, but I wonder if you were to write your autobiography, where would you begin? Would you begin with Stepping Hill or Macclesfield or maybe somewhere far away where you had been born? Well, with John the Baptist, who we're going to be talking about this morning, he could beat that because actually his story actually begins before he was even conceived, which in itself, of course, was a miracle. There are a few celebrities too who kind of name their children, if you remember, after maybe where their child was conceived, but I won't go into that one. You may remember. But let's have a look at John the Baptist first of all before we look at what Jesus had to say about him. Excuse my voice, I have got a funny throat this morning. So John the Baptist's mum and dad were too old to conceive. They'd never been able to have a child, and yet they walked faithfully before God. And then Zechariah, who was a priest, had the once-in-a-lifetime experience of being high priest in the temple. And when he's there, he sees an angel. So this is one artist's impression of that. And here he is. He sees the angel. He wonders what's happening. People wonder outside what's happening because he's in so long. And he's told that actually him and his wife Elizabeth will have a child. And that child will be a boy. Remember, no scans then either. But they're told that this child is going to be a boy. They're told also that he's going to be called John, and he'll be great before the Lord. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he's told that he must never drink alcohol. That's quite something in a place like Israel. It's a bit like saying you can't have a cup of tea in England. So he was told, no, you're not going to be able to drink alcohol. But he was also told he will turn many to God, and he will go before the Messiah in the same kind of power as Elijah. Now, Elijah, of course, was the big prophet of the Old Testament that all the Jews talk about. And that was a very big thing because even at Passover today, they leave an empty chair for Elijah because Elijah is to come before the Messiah. So this was a tremendous message, a mind-blowing message about this child that Zechariah and Elizabeth were going to have. And poor Zechariah, you can imagine, he found it hard to believe. And so, because he didn't believe, he was actually struck dumb. So he couldn't speak. He did actually get his voice back, and that was when the baby had been named John. And that was unusual because, of course, everybody else wanted to name him after Zechariah. But he was named John. So in our first reading that we had read to us, we see John as someone in the desert. He lived, thank you, very simply in animal skins, eating locusts, which we're now told are very good for us, but there you go, locusts and wild honey. So a very simple life that he led. And the next one, please, Reese. And he was proclaiming a message to all the people. He was telling them that they needed to repent and change their ways. In fact, in our first reading, he said to the Sadducees and Pharisees, "You're a brood of vipers." Can you imagine? That's a kind of a hell and brimstone type of preaching, wasn't it? But he And some thought that actually this John the Baptist could be the Messiah himself. But he wasn't, and he always pointed away from himself to Jesus, as all of us must do too. And he even said, John the Baptist said, I'm not even worthy to untie the sandals of this Messiah who is to come. But he will come to judge. And of course, next slide please, we have to have a river, because by his name he was someone who baptized people in the river Jordan. And this was part of what he was known as. You could go out into the desert, into the wilderness there, and he would preach repentance. And if you were willing to say that you were going to change, then you were baptized in the river Jordan. So he was a herald. The next one, please, Reese. Telling people that the king is coming, that the Messiah is coming. And John was finally, because he always told the truth and he told people about their sin, he said to King Herod, and he criticized King Herod because King Herod took his brother's wife, and so he was put in prison, and finally he was beheaded. So we come to our second reading, which is the one in Matthew 11, which is on page 11 in your Bible. What did Jesus then have to say about John the Baptist? Well, chapter 11 and verse 7, he begins by saying to them, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind. Now, in that time, that reed shaken by the wind was like a common proverb. And what it really meant was something very ordinary. Because, of course, there were lots of reeds by the river, and they would, when the wind moved, they would move about too. So Jesus is saying here, did you just go out into the wilderness to see someone who was ordinary? Or it also could mean that, like a reed, John wasn't shaken. He wasn't moved by the wind. He wasn't moved by what people thought about him. He had a consistent message. So what Jesus here was saying, he was a resolute man, a man with a message, and this message never wavered. It didn't matter what happened. John the Baptist's message was always the same. He was consistent, he was strong. He certainly wasn't ordinary, and he certainly wasn't spineless. So I wonder if we ask ourselves, what does that mean for us? Is our message of salvation, is our faith consistent? Are we able to keep our faith whatever? And when we think about that, sometimes we can be moved, can't we? Or we can change depending on who we are with. I wonder if in every situation that we find ourselves, every different social situation or work situation, are we still the same strong Christian that we are when we're in church? Or is it when we're in our home group, for example, that we think, oh yeah, I can talk about my faith very easily, but when I go back to work on a Monday morning or whenever, well, I'm not quite as forthcoming. But you see, for John, he was resolute, he was consistent, he was never changing. And I think, well, that is a challenge to us today. Are we truly always faithful to God as a Christian? Are we faithful Christians? Then secondly, he was a man who had self-denial. Unlike most, he chose to live out in harsh conditions. Not probably very far from Jerusalem, because you don't have to go far from Jerusalem to be out in the wilderness, because that's how people were able to go and see him. But there he was, not having the comfort of lovely soft clothes, as it says here in Matthew's Gospel. No, he didn't have any of that. He was a man who lived very simply and eating only things that he could find out there in the wilderness. And that led me to think about us as Christians. What about us? What about us? Do we live sacrificially? Are the sacrifices that we have to make as a Christian? And I think sometimes it's very easy, isn't it, for us as Christians just to live as everybody else lives. But surely as we are thinking about our own life as a Christian, the choices that we have to make, does that affect us? You see, today's world says, just do it, as one of the adverts says. Or one of the other adverts says, because you're worth it, just do it. But actually, as a Christian, our values and our ways of living are very different. I was talking to someone recently who was advised actually by a medic to go to a particular kind of class. But when she found out that that class was to do with Eastern religions, she said, well, I can't do it. I'd like to go, and I know people who go, but it's not for me as a Christian. I was talking to someone else recently, and they said, well, when you're in your late teens or 20s, what you do on a Saturday night, staying sober isn't cool. And so that means that if you just go along with the crowd on a Sunday morning, you're not fit to come to church. Or how do we spend our time? And that's a very big one. Sunday, do you really make sure that church is a priority? You see, it's so easy, isn't it? Especially as we come before Christmas. Oh, well, I've got this and I've got this to do. And I'm actually coming to the carol service at night, so maybe I won't come in the morning. And yet, what? Christmas is actually all about Jesus. Shouldn't we be putting more time in, not less? You see, sometimes I think as Christians, we're not living the life of sacrifice that God has actually called us to. So what is the next thing that he says to us, about John the Baptist to us? He says, well, he's a prophet. So he was a prophet. What was a prophet? Well, a prophet is someone who's got a message from God. But Jesus actually says John the Baptist was more than a prophet. Why? Because the Old Testament prophets saw Jesus, the Messiah, at a distance. But John actually saw with his own eyes. In fact, when he was still in the womb, and his mum, Elizabeth, met Mary, the mother of Jesus, the baby leapt with joy because of Jesus' presence. You have to read that up. I haven't got time to go into that. But when he saw Jesus coming out into the wilderness and he saw him approaching the river, John said, behold the Lamb of God. He saw who Jesus was and met him. He was the one that he was telling everybody about. He was the herald. Next one, please. Yeah, heralds, thank you. So my question is, he was preparing people to receive Jesus, and Jesus came along there in the wilderness. So do we help people to prepare to know Jesus? Do we know enough to help to soften people's hearts? Okay, it's God's work. But you know, sometimes we need to be able to just say a few things, especially as today people say things without thinking about them. And you sometimes just need to ask a question. Well, do you really think that we came from nothing? Or whatever it may be. We need to be apologetic in the way that we approach people so that we help to prepare their hearts when they hear the gospel. This is what John's job was, to be that herald, to be that forerunner. He was the one who was preparing the way and helping people to be ready to see what Jesus was going to do, because this was right at the beginning, of course, of Jesus' ministry. And then the next one, he was divinely appointed by God. In the first reading, it told us that Isaiah not only spoke about Jesus, because we have those wonderful words, don't we, from Isaiah during the Christmas carol services, but actually he also talked about John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was divinely appointed by God. We know that from the way his birth came about too. And not only in Isaiah, in Malachi 3, Also, it tells us about John the Baptist coming. But then, you know, Jesus has appointed you and me. We too are divinely appointed. At the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." For all those of us who call ourselves Christians, who are followers of Jesus Christ, we are divinely appointed to go and tell the good news. And you know, we love to hang on to that verse, "Lo, I am with you always." But as some person once said to me, there's no lo without the go. In other words, we're there. We're to tell. We are to tell people. And yes, Jesus will always be with us. And so, next one, please. John was indeed great. In fact, Jesus says there was no one greater born of woman. He was affirmed as a great man of God. But then we have these verses that you may have thought, what does that mean as we read them? In verse 11, "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What does that mean? It means that Jesus affirms you and me who are in the kingdom of heaven. Those of us who have seen the cross and the resurrection. He says we are greater than John the Baptist. That is just amazing. To know that God says we are great. It's mind-blowing when you think of it. And why is it that we are greater than John the Baptist? What does it mean? Well, John the Baptist was there at the dawn of the gospel, but he didn't experience the Jesus crucified and glorified. But for you and me who believe in Jesus Christ and trust in him, and we declare our faith in the creed, we are forgiven for our sins, and we are trusting in Jesus alone for our salvation. We are great. Great because we are God's children, made acceptable through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are in the wonderful days of the gospel. Poor John was only there at the beginning of the gospel. Isn't it great that we are in the days of the gospel? True greatness of humankind is derived only from our relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Jesus is enough for me and for you. And then we're told John came in the spirit and power of Elijah. I didn't put a slide up for this, don't ask me why. But he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. What did that mean? That Elijah had come back again? No, but he was the New Testament equivalent. And he was come before the Messiah. That power of Elijah. You know, Elijah in the Old Testament was taken up to heaven. He didn't die. He was just taken up to heaven. That's who Elijah was. And John is a new Elijah with power. But we, because Jesus has gone to be with the Father, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can never say we can't do something for God. Because if God asks us to do it, he gives us the power of his Spirit so that we can do it. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing that we can all have. And then finally there is that warning at the end. And because we're not Jews, we might not quite understand what he was saying. He gives a little parable, if you like, in verses 16 and 17. He says, "The children play in the marketplace." It was a place where people met and talked together. And there they played weddings and they played funerals. And what he's saying here is, John came like a funeral, if you like. He didn't eat or drink. He was mourning. He gave a strong message of repentance. Jesus said, I came, and yes, I mixed with sinners, and I did this and the other. But either of us, many of you, didn't listen. It was a warning. And you know, we're told, aren't you, can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So John had one message. Jesus had the same message, but in a different way. But still, many would not accept it. How sad is that? And so we've got John the Baptist, a great man of God. And the question we must ask ourselves is, are we, as a church here in Poynton, are we a great people of God? Am I a great person for God? And so as we approach Christmas, as John the Baptist led people to meet with Jesus, can we, in our own small way, help family or friends or colleagues to see the real meaning of Christmas this 2018? Because that is what Jesus has called each one of us to do. Amen.